Hi, Jenny McMillan is interviewing Anne McClelland and is accompanied by Louise Mealy. Mrs. McClelland has pre-prepared notes that she will use. Anne, when did you begin your time at Glenlola?
Thank you, Jenny. I came to Glenlola Collegiate School as a mature student in 1994, and I was 45 years old, and I felt very old, but looking back, I wasn't old at all, just compared to everybody else. So I left school in 1967, so it had been a long time since I was in a classroom. My children were largely born in England, except Mark, my oldest, was born here. They were educated in Scotland. So it was a very different educational system experience, which I had only saw from the perspective of a parent. So I left Glenola in 2011 and taught full-time here from 1995. So after being a student, in a sense, I never left until my retirement. And I want to tell you a bit about that, because there were little miracles that happened along the way there. Okay?
Yeah.
All leading to why and how I love this school and why I feel with every fibre of my being I was meant to be here. And it's the most privileged thing of my life. I love this school so much. So now I'm looking back, having been retired for 11 years and at a time which began almost 30 years ago. So the memory isn't good about some things, but it's really sharp about others. So I moved back to Northern Ireland in 1989, having spent 19 years away living in England and Scotland with my husband's work. I had started Aberdeen University and transferred straight into second year to do English at Queen's, followed by a Master's in Renaissance Studies. And then, joy of joys, I applied for a PGCE course. What are those silly letters? What does that mean? It was like a defence to me. So I thought, what does that mean? Okay, was accepted. Now here comes my story about my love of Glenola Collegiate School. Tragic circumstances play a role in showing just how special the school is and how special the staff really are. They were then and they are now. And it's a joy to see the school go from strength to strength with people like this wonderful young teacher, Mrs. McMillan, who's in charge of this wonderful enterprise at the helm of it. And it's personal and perhaps too anecdotal, but shall I go on this way? Do you want me to go on this way?
Please.
So, my husband died at 46 years old on the penultimate day of my primary school 2 weeks observation. I was barely 2 weeks into the course. At home, I had two sons, one with spina bifida, the other doing an engineering degree course. My daughter was proudly working and living in London, working for Trinity Mirror Group as a graphic designer. Very proud of her. And she came home, you know, as much as she possibly could and so on. So, can you imagine, 2 weeks into the course, what does Anne do? How could I do this? How could I finish the course? And you know yourself, when you go on a teacher training course, is it really for me? I've always wanted this, but I don't know if this is the thing. So, on this course, usually you would go to a grammar school first and then to a secondary school for teacher practice, but that wasn't feasible. So I went to, can I say the name of the school?
Yeah.
I went to Bangor Secondary School, who was joined on us in the old school, in the old building by a corridor, that mystic corridor. Because the girls, you can imagine, the posh Glenola girls live over there. It was hilarious, the stories I used to hear about Glenola girls. Anyway, so, and they knew, they found out I was going to the posh school. And they said, they warned me before I came, that the teachers must be snobs. And my experience wouldn't be as good as theirs. Boy, how wrong they were. How wrong they were. And it's not just my department who were the best, of course, all nine of us. Huge department. They encouraged and supported me every step of the way. I found them dedicated, hardworking, committed, also very caring and humble, witty and funny too. And their generosity of spirit helped and inspired me all the way. But there's another dimension. Funny, spooky things happened as well because of my connection. I found when I came to Glenola that Jean McCormick had been former head of department in the English department. Now, I went to a grammar school in Cookstown High School, and Jean was head of English in Cookstown High School, but she left the year I started school. I kept missing her. So when I came to Glenola, Jean was gone again. We kept missing each other. Yes. Yes. But I met this fabulous Tyrol woman many times in succeeding years. And I'd heard such tales of this fabulous teacher who cried when she read poetry, climbed out windows or pretended to do, put on a dramatic performance, climbed on top of desks and sang and inspired the girls with every fibre of her being. Would health and safety tolerate such antics now? I think not. And there were more people from Cookstown High School at the school. Hazel Steele, for instance. She's my half-cousin. Yes, they do exist. There is such a thing as a half-cousin. We share only one grandparent, a grandfather, who married three times. He didn't bump them off. They had the rudeness or misfortune to die on him. To be quickly replaced, of course. So I also, the redoubtable Anne Irwin was here. And she was 5 years ahead of me in Cookstown High School. And she scared the living daylights out of me because she bossed everybody about. And so what's new? But she came to my dearest, wonderful friend. And I have wonderful, happy memories. I was her chemo buddy before she died. And we went on a cruise together. Oh, the things we got up to. It was wonderful. And she had some hair grown back when she was on the cruise. But you can imagine, she didn't wear a wig at that point. But she had a scarf on. She would take it off and scratch her head and tell people her story. And it was wonderful. We had an absolute ball. She was up and down the hills, seven hills of Rome, with me tripping after her, barely able to catch up with her. And after her second lot of chemo, she honestly, chemo brought the best out of that woman. I've never seen anything like quite like it in my life. I've only seen her cry once. And she said, what am I going to do about Rachel? I have to live. I can't leave her. This was Anne Irwin. Also, Tina Richardson, her daddy was 3 years above me in school. See, so it was meant to be. Now, where do I go from here? Right, so I'm going on too long, aren't I?
No,
right. Yes. Give me 1 minute. I doubled up. I did a number of my wee pages. So, got rid of that one. Where's number four? Right. Yeah. So this place was special to me the minute I walked through the door. It just felt right. Above all, it proved to me that teaching was what I wanted to do, but not just anywhere here. But how? Miracles again. Very last minute, Leanne McCluskey left to work for the board. At the end of my... I'd just gone back to Queen's and graduated. So a job was out of the question for me for 45. He was going to employ me. And what would I do about Mark? He was in daycare 2 days a week. What on earth was I going to do? The rest is history. But what a history. Because I hadn't left long. I hadn't left Lenola long. Instead of being my first practice was my last, so I was still in Marie's memory. So Marie McKee was in a bind and she rang me and said, could I work full time for a year?
Could I?
Could I? I don't know. How could I do this? Leanne went out for another year. And I was about to depart, literally leaving at the last minute. Mr. Finlay was about to give me my leaving gift when he comes to me and whispered, literally whispered, there's been a development. Mm-hmm. A member of the English department has just told me she's going to work for the Simon community for a year. Can you stay? What? Can I stay? Oh, you bet I can. Another wonderful year, but full of uncertainty for the future. She stayed out for another year and again I was asked to cover. Then she decided she wasn't coming back to teaching. A permanent full-time vacancy opened up and I applied. So after a grueling interview process and the knowledge of lots of, you know, one fabulous candidates, I got the job. So I think most of all, what was wonderful for me that Galola taught me to teach my subject was it let me teach my subject. Something that I knew I couldn't even do on teacher practice in the girls' high because there was more, you know, it was more lots of crowd control rather than teaching my, you know, teaching my subject. And I was able to share with them my passion for reading and literature. So. That doesn't make sense. If you give me a wine, I'll go to six. Yes. So. could say stupid things like to girls and say, listen to the sound of the words and listen for the music. And, you know, reading just doesn't develop your language skills. It's fun. It's enjoyment. It's a safe place to explore strong emotions. It's good for your mental health, you know, it reduces your stress, helps your imagination, all those prosaic things. But most of all, I was able to tell them that, you know, it expands your mind, it gives you more empathy with others. And there are words and phrases in there that it'll touch your heart, they'll even touch your soul, and you will remember them in the good times and the bad times in years to come. And they did. And they did. So, can I rest for a wee minute? Oh no, this I have to stop something because I've see over page and me stars and things. This is hilarious. And my daughter said, Mommy, you always, I practice brinkmanship. It's the only way I can do things. I have to do things at the last minute. I'm terrible. I think she should tell the girls never to do. Last minute, Annie. That's me. This. Right. So I can't remember. Right. Where did I leave off? What was my last thing all about? The personal stuff. Hang on. Just let me check, I haven't left anything. See, you shouldn't stop in the middle because I had a flow, didn't I? And my flow went. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach my subject in literature. Oh, yes, wonderful. Wonderful, yes. So, 6A. 6A. Did I do 6A? Mm-hmm. Yeah, did that. Well, if you think it's okay to go on, and it's not, yeah, okay. So perhaps it's too easy to be romantic of the past and look at things through the rose-coloured spectacles, as it were. When we were younger, we'd more energy and we're more resilient. But clearly, teaching has never been easy, as it were. Too much focus on the long holidays. Ugh, one more person said that to me, really. But teaching now faces even more challenges. But there are some positives, of course. There are far more and far better teaching resources. And school and society in general have become even more reliant on technology. So, never more so for this school, obviously, during the recent pandemic. A challenge with the school and teachers spectacularly raised their game for that challenge, and must have been so difficult. It was incredible. I'm so glad I wasn't here, that's all I can say. That really is all I can say. I think the old problems of, you know, plagiarism and cyberbullying are still there, joined by even more serious issues, you know, such as body shaming, use of cameras and phones in schools to shame and embarrass teachers and all of that, dealing with potential dangers of pupils responding to TikTok and, you know, some task they were going to have to perform in school. How did you cope with something like that? And gender issues, where do you go with that? A minefield to navigate safely. What do you identify as? What does that even mean? But it is a wonderful world. If you want to know something, what do? You Google it. It's wonderful. So I'm trying to be positive. But there were things, I think, obviously, as a teacher, it's difficult for me to say clearly, would I rather teach now? Would I rather teach then? Because when I started then had slowly changed to become something different. By the time I started teaching, already these things were coming in. And there wasn't the same, teachers weren't looked in the same way. They didn't get the same respect from parents or pupils. But I slowly saw that get worse. And then the encroachment of technology and the advancement of technology and everything that meant for schools. So clearly my response would be, I would like to go back to some of the freedoms of the past, but I never had the freedoms that some teachers did before that time. Mm-hmm. Teachers that were in the prep of 1953 and came at a time when I remember people like the wonderful Judy Neville telling me in the old school there were times when they could, you know, at lunchtime they would sunbathe outside, something you could never do. There was always that, not just for me, it was different in a sense because I was always constantly trying to prove myself because I was a new teacher. Mm-hmm. But you just never did that. You would never. You felt... There's a working staff room and a socialising staff room. And for me, I was never in the other one because I was constantly thinking about lesson plans and working and wondering what was going to come next, you know. So things were clearly very different when I started, and that has escalated to the degree, so on. Things like, you know, in the good old days, assessment and reporting were delivered at a very different standard. Much higher standards were required, and rightly so, of course. For an annual report, can you imagine just having to write an annual report where a word satisfactory was okay in several subjects and no more than a line or two for others? And now much more detail is required, and far more frequently. Results and marks must be supported and measured by national criteria. And it's much more vigorous, which is obviously a good, but adds to teachers' pressure and workload. There's always a downside to everything. Can I stop for another minute? I don't know where I'm going from here. So thinking again about, is teaching harder now than it was then? And obviously thinking about then for me was in the 90s, and things were already changing. Changes had already begun in the 90s. Teachers were less respected than when I was at school. So that was my criteria then, obviously, how things were. And of course, that was in the old days, literally the old days, when there was a junior certificate and senior certificate. And then things changed, GCSEs and O levels. And then, of course, AS and A2 came in and things began to change and all of that. Teachers were less respected when I was at school, as I've said. And as time went on, it became clear that parents seemed unable to parent and seemed to take no responsibility for their children or ownership of their own behaviour. Children seemed most of all to feel a sense of entitlement. And they expressed with a, you know, I want, never would say something like, how can I help? And also was a time when some parents had a sense of, if you pay, somehow they're paying for teachers, therefore they are like a servant, they are something, you know, and therefore, you know, we can treat them any way we like. And I've had more than one parent say to me, my daughter got an A for her, or she got a really high score, you know, for 11 plus or whatever. She's not getting those grades now. What are you going to do about it? It's my fault. It's my fault. So, and I think the main problems that I could see slowly emerging were to do with respect and discipline and the curriculum, crazy curriculum. It seemed that if society had a problem, teachers and schools had to correct it. We had to be everything. Social workers, nurses, psychiatrists, psychologists, the list is endless. You know all of that. Yeah. So can I stop for another minute? So if you ask me what granola, it's okay, start again. Is it okay? So in answer to the question, when I think about granola, what comes to mind? What immediately comes to mind, of course, is the old school and the crazy conditions we taught in. Absolutely incredible. But the humour in the midst of it all. The humour in the midst of it all was nuts. Because our huts were out at the back of the PE department. We shared them with the maths department. Mm-hmm. And our huts led to this Ward Park just opposite. So if you had it felt like a wee break, you just wandered out to Ward Park and had a wee walk around to Ward Park. The trouble was, thinking about it now, people from Ward Park could have walked into the school and had a wee wander around the school, but that didn't happen so much. That's it. And so the old school was... Yeah, it was. The weather was very important, obviously, as you can imagine. So you have to dress accordingly. Mm-hmm. And many occasions we would stand and talk to Mr. Hughes or Colette Byrne and say, you go first. No, you go first. No, it's raining too hard. I don't want to go out there. And we had our umbrellas and our rain gear. And then we'd go up the wee steps and enter a wee hut. And then the windows were constantly all fuzzy and you couldn't see out, which... You were in this fuzzy capsule, and in my hut in particular, they changed a wee bit because Leanne McCuskey had one of her own. It was amazing. I had a detached hut. It was fabulous. And there was no mould in it. And it had its door, but my store had mould, and the mould was smelly and horrible, and the books were just unusable. And because the workmen would constantly, the groundsmen would come and say, we're going to fix that roof for you. So you had to draw a wee circle of the roof where the water was coming through, and there were lots of red circles, but nothing seemed to ever seem to happen. And on the floor, if you weren't, you got all carried away talking about a poem you loved and the poet you loved, and you kicked a bucket and the water was all over the all over the place. So that happened all the time. But the girls, the you know, the quality of what the teaching, I'm not saying mine, but the quality of the teaching that went on in those huts was incredible, honestly. Mm-hmm. And when you wanted to watch your TV, there was a little TV on wheels that we shared, and you had to hump it up steps and ask for it days in advance and then take it into the room, and the screen was that size. Oh, no technology, nothing. It was nothing. Mm-hmm. But it was incredible. So how can there be a nostalgia for that time? Because the school had a soul, it had a heart, it had personality. But then when we heard we were going to a new school, oh, the excitement was unbelievable. Imagine, we wouldn't have to dress, we wouldn't have to put wellies on, we didn't literally put wellies. Sometimes we would say we're going to come in baby grows and zip them all up and just sit there all day like that, and we all cozy and put a hot water bottle in there and all of that. We never did any of those things. But the thought of a new building was just so exciting. It was wonderful. And it turned out to be so stylish and beautiful. I loved it. Like, we came in like we were going, so good. And the library in particular, oh, a library, just love it, with its mezzanine, and it's just my favourite place in all the world, and it was just wonderful. And it led up to the English department, and it was everything we dreamt it would be and more. But then we seemed to talk about the old building more, but I think that was just because the school hadn't developed a personality yet. There was no history, there were no real memories, but as time's gone on, I'm sure that's changed.
Developing,
and it's still developing over time, of course. Mm-hmm. It is, and we're lucky to have this wonderful place. Mm-hmm. That's it,
very much.
Also, when I think about school, I think about special times that made my heart swell. For in silly times, like, well, I was a form teacher in middle school, and you can guess what that meant for girls of that age, like fourth and fifth form, and year 11 and year 12. And having to keep nail varnish remover in your drawer. Mm-hmm. And a ruler with Sharon Beck telling you to measure the girls, the length of the girls' skirts, and all of that was hilarious. That was wonderful. But there were other times when my heart would stand still, and I would be, it would be like the summer exam time, and the girls would be in the main big assembly hall, and I would be walking up and down and watching those wee heads and the silence. And you could tell the ones that were under pressure, and the wee hands were shaking, and they were all bringing in water, you know, and they were allowed to have their water bottles and everything. And I was thinking, in the old days, I vaguely remember it when I was in primary school, when we had desks, and there was actually ink in the wee. Can you imagine our girls coping with ink? Can you imagine? My sister was constantly knocking ink over everything. She was terrible. She was a really nervous girl, you know, but the joy of that, just the silence and the watching and the sense of responsibility and love for those girls and their lives and the influence you had over them was huge. Mm-hmm. And times like in middle school when you had a middle school assembly, but there were times when you had a whole school assembly when all the teachers stood all around and we were all looking at those girls, every one of them, and you were watching out for your form class in the line, in the row, and they were behaving themselves and were all well dressed and everything was fine. And just times when it made my heart stand still. Mm-hmm. Other times, you know, like extravaganzas, when they took off the teachers, the joy and the fun and the laughter, and the teachers, the least likely teachers that you would think would become involved, were involved. Mm-hmm. And they made absolute fools of themselves, and everybody loved it hugely. But there were other times too when I loved it, when I would find out, maybe there were a swimming gala, or I would be covering, it didn't happen too often, you had to cover for hockey duty as well. And you thought, that wee girl sitting in the corner, I didn't know she could play hockey like that. I didn't know she could sing. I didn't know she was a gymnast. It was wonderful. You saw a whole new perspective on those girls, you know. So they were absolutely special times, from the old school to those wonderful concerts. And the school was never a play, it was always a musical, and the memories of the musicals was wonderful. Yeah. In the old school especially, because it was, the big assembly hall was off the main thoroughfare, and there were steps outside, and you could sit there with the doors open and just watch what was going on there. And the talent and the music and the eccentricity of the music department was legend. It was fabulous. It was wonderful. And then we went to the new school, and there was a drama theatre, and there was a blue room. Incredible. Yeah. So unbelievable. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I think of Glenola, yeah, family and fun. And in the midst of all that, the other great occasion was prize giving. And it could be boring for teachers as well as pupils that were getting prizes, and their parents sitting there for hours watching this parade of all that. But they actually, you felt so proud of that academic parade, and you were allowed to wear your robes again that you got at Queen's or wherever, and you walked up and you sat on the left hand side and you watched the proud parents, and you watched those girls, and their academic achievements were mind blowing. 10 A stars, 11 A stars, cup after cup after cup. And then you know the history of the school and the talent of the girls that have left here and what they've gone to achieve. It's wonderful. That's why all of these reasons are why the school is so very special to me. So one final thing, if you ask me what three words I would use.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
So three words, and I found that difficult at first. I thought, come on, how am I doing? I'm going to be an English teacher, and I'll use alliteration, and I'll use the letters of the school and all of that. But in the end, I didn't do that. So my three words are challenging, fulfilling, and joyous. They were the happiest days of my life, and that's a big thing to say for me, for anyone, I think. Somebody said, find out what you like doing best and get somebody to pay you for doing it. And I did. So thank you, Glenola. I'm so proud and privileged to be a member of staff and part of this wonderful school. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne.